Spirit Blade Underground, episode 373. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for system file. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 373.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast, a biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment, as well as the official podcast of Christian Geek Central, a website and community you can check out at ChristianGeekCentral.com. I'm Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions, producing entertainment and resources to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and like me to live more and more for Christ. For more info and free goodies, check out SpiritBlade.com. On the show today, highlights of the summer of free retro and free video game live stream that was recorded live last night, including my thoughts on some of my retro favorites and a review of the Retron 5 retro video gaming console. How many times can I force retro into a sentence? I don't know. Did you count? I'm not going to rewind it. You can tell me later. All right, let's go. Nice. Another achievement unlocked. I bet I got more achievements than anybody I know.
Yes, sitting in front of a video game for 5 hours a day is quite an achievement.
See, this is why I don't like talking to you.
Then why don't you spend more time with real people?
Because real people don't respond to console commands.
Wow, Peter. You unlocked yet another achievement. You must have more achievements than anyone you know. Behold, you are great, and greatly to be praised.
Yeah, better. All right, I think everything's up and running now. Welcome to the retro free game live stream for Christian Geek Central. I'm just going to basically play some retro games and talk about them, talk about why I like them or why I don't like them or whatever. And yeah, so it's going to be the NES, Super NES. Do we have any PlayStation 1? We might not. We might just jump ahead to PlayStation 2 at some point. But first, I guess I should say... oh, hey, Rugged Warrior. Welcome, welcome. So first, I should say, okay, what is retro? What am I considering retro for this? And the way I kind of figured was to do, like, the generation before last is retro. So Xbox 360, PS3, that's not old enough to be retro. And as strange as it was initially for me to kind of come to this conclusion, PlayStation 2 and the original Xbox, those, I think, can be qualified as retro games at this point because they are from the console generation before last. So we're looking at PS2, the original Xbox, GameCube, and earlier on consoles. And then based on kind of like when those consoles released, I figured, okay, 2006 and earlier on the PC. So that's how I'm figuring... That's what I'm calling retro games. And most of what I'm going to be playing during this stream is going to be retro. There are just like 3 free games that you can get online. So, but part of the summer of free is about taking advantage of free entertainment. And for a lot of us, free entertainment that we have available is entertainment we already have that maybe we haven't looked at or played in a while. And so I'm just going to be dusting off some free entertainment that I've had. Oh, and the other rule that I gave for myself was that I also cannot have purchased it within the last 12 months. So in the spirit of the summer of free, I'm not going to be playing any retro-aged games that I purchased in the last 12 months. I guess the exception to that would be the fact that I'm going to be using the Retron 5, which is a retro video gaming console, for most of the night. And I'll be reviewing that in just a little bit, but I thought I'd kick things off with some Wizards and Warriors. Because platformers, by far, because of Mario, were like, that was the thing. That's what you did. And so even in a game like this, this medieval fantasy game, with a guy wearing full iron body armor, he is bouncing around. That's like one of his main modes of transportation is jumping twice his height in iron body armor. So now let's move on to maybe a game that you've actually heard of. Let's see. And then I'll talk about the Retron 5 as well. Now, the Retron 5, I'm trying to remember how much I got it for. I remember thinking it was really reasonably priced. I got it on Amazon, which was less than they're asking for on, like, more... on sites that are more closely attached to the publisher. What was it, like $80? $150? Somewhere in that neighborhood. And overall, I've been happy with it. So this is basically what you see after the main kind of logo pops up, which just says like Hyperkin, you know, the guys that make this. Then it pops over to this, and if there's no cartridge in it, it just says no cart inserted. And this is your main menu here. And so you get the choice to play the game, which of course I'll do in a minute. I put in Final Fantasy, and then you got game menu settings. So let me just walk you through these, and you can kind of get an idea of, you know, what this thing is. Now, first off, I should say that if you're used to using emulators, as I was for years, this has a number of features that you're going to find in an emulator. You know, I did a study about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, something like that. I can't remember how long ago. It's on the YouTube channel. It's just a three-part study that I released after kind of looking into it deeply as I could myself. And I came to the conclusion that that biblically, as believers, we really shouldn't be using emulators under almost all circumstances. There are very few circumstances in which we as believers should engage with that or can engage with it without sinning, I think. And I think that the Retron 5 is a great legal alternative, and it has some really nice features, but you know, is it as good as it could be? I don't think so. Let's look at the game menu here. So we got game specific settings. So it has you can select patches here. I haven't experimented with this, but I believe, I'm almost positive, and you can look at the FAQ on the Hyperkin, the Retron 5 website, but I believe it does support like translation patches. So say if you have the Japanese cartridge for the NES or the Famicom, it would be, which this with the Retron 5 will play Famicom and Super Famicom games, the Japanese versions of the Nintendo consoles. It absolutely will play cartridges that are imported directly from there. But like if you don't speak Japanese, you're like, well, what good is that to me? Well, this does appear to support patches, and that's the one thing I can't really confirm for sure, I think, that I'm going to talk about. But I mean, that's what I see going on here, and I'm almost sure that I remember reading that it does support translation patches that you can add to it, which would mean that that you can, you know, play completely legally and morally these you know, imported these games that were only available in Japan for these old retro consoles. But I haven't used that feature, so I really can't talk about it a whole bunch. Let's go back here. The next one is cheats. Now, this is the way they kind of advertised it was that they were bringing the Game Genie cheats or whatever to the Retron 5. And if you look at this, the little symbol there, I mean, it's a genie's lamp, so it certainly evokes that. But this is not really a Game Genie, because the only cheats you can use are the ones that are preloaded. And it's dependent on Hyperkin to support their products and put cheats on there that you would want, which is hard for them to anticipate because in all the years that the Game Genie has been around, there are now so many different cheats that people have just stumbled upon and created and posted online that were never in the original Galoob, you know, manual for the for Game Genie. And now they do have a ton in here that wasn't in the original Galoob manual. I had that once upon a day, and it didn't have near this many cheats. There are so many cheats here. I mean, so they really have a lot of cheats. And for the games that they have cheats for, they in all but maybe one or two circumstances in my library, they have all the cheats that the kinds of cheats that I would want, which is usually just going to be about giving me some kind of a handicap or making me invincible or something like that. Plus, you know, tons more. But what's weird is, you know, this one probably isn't a good example, but like sometimes they these little notes that they have in here, you can't tell what these cheats actually do. Let me see if I can. Oh no, it takes me right there. Like this is, you know, maximum level 7 magic. Well, you can kind of guess what that means. And you know, notice they've got like more than one. They've got like how many of these? Maximum level 4 magic. Maximum level 4 magic. Maximum. They got 4 of those. Why do they need 4? And you'll see these kind of repetition of codes. And what I discovered is that's because some of these codes, they don't work or they cause glitches or something like that. So I don't know what the reasoning is there, but it's not really like user-friendly to find what you want all the time in terms of the cheats. And as I said, sometimes they don't have what you want in terms of the cheats. Now, I think I did read somebody, you know, on some forum somewhere, because I did a Google search to see if somebody was working on this. I think somebody had figured out a way that you could put your own cheats in there, but it involves coding and stuff that if you're not comfortable with that, which I certainly am not, it's just going to involve a lot of work and learn and a big learning curve and stuff like that. So, okay, so like here's an example. Hit percentage character 1. Well, maybe that improves their hit percentage, I would think. Infinite magic uses, character 1. What does this mean? Intelligence, luck, strength, vitality. Does that mean it's at its maximum? Well, you know, or does it just mean it's like twice as strong or something? Because I don't always want the maximum. Sometimes that overpowers things. If I want to like just boost my guy a little bit. Absorb character 4. What? Damage, character 4. Damage, maybe that increases damage? Absorb, these are probably stats in your, but here you go, intelligence, luck, strength. So weird, you know. So a lot of these codes will lack descriptions that would really be useful. And then you've got other games, and I made a list. You've got other games that they don't even have cheats for. Some of which I'm like, how can you not have cheats for this game? This is a hugely popular game. How can you not feature cheats for this game as part of your product when you're saying, hey, we have built-in cheats through the Game Genie or something like that? There's no cheats for Wizards and Warriors, which is a bit of a disappointment for me. There's no cheats for Dragon Warrior, which that doesn't bother me. Role-playing games, I don't need to cheat at, really. The Legend of Zelda. I suck enough at Legend of Zelda that I might like to have some cheats for that. No cheats available for that. Super Mario Bros. 2. They do have cheats for Super Mario Bros. 2, but none that will make you invincible. The cheats for Super Mario Bros. 2 are very limited. No cheats for Super Mario Bros. 3. I'm just thinking to myself, come on, these are like cornerstone games. How can you not have cheats for these games? And they have updated the cheats that are available for these systems a few times, but I not very frequently. The last one was back in March, maybe. So it would just be nice if what they would really do is focus on making a software update that would allow users to go to work in putting their own cheats in. I don't know why in the world they wouldn't make this so that you could put your own cheats in. If that's even remotely possible, I don't know why that's not a feature on this. So, Death and Return of Superman, which I'll play later tonight, but I don't really need cheats for that. There's some cheats built into that game already that you can use and access. The Game Boy version of Tetris. And those are the games that I have that it doesn't have cheats for. So, and you don't really know what my library is, so I mean that doesn't maybe tell you a whole lot, but certainly of those Super Mario Brothers games, they ought to have cheats for Super, like respectable cheats for Super Mario Brothers 2. They had like maybe less than a dozen types different cheats, none of which helped you actually make your way through the game. So if you're like me, or you know, if you're like my boys, and you know they're like me, they get frustrated, you know, and I'd love for them to just be able to explore this world and not worry so much about dying, and you know, so it'd be nice for kids and for terrible players like me to have better cheats and more, and especially on some of these Hallmark games. Okay, so considerable thumbs down Well, I don't want to say thumbs down on the cheats department, because they do get a number of things right, but it's disappointing. It's not what I think it should have been. Okay, so copy save to Retron. This allows you to take a game that has like a saving functionality in it, you know, like a little backup battery, like most role-playing games on the NES had, and save that copy that's on the cartridge onto the Retron. And that's really nice if you think that your battery's going to start dying, but you've got a save on there that you want to, you know, import to the Retron. Of course, you can just as easily do it by using the save state feature, which allows you to save at any time during the game. As long as you just load up your game and can access that save, you're good to go. And this one's kind of interesting too. This allows you to copy your save to the cart. So if you have a save that's, you know, on, that's part of the official game save system for that cartridge on your Retron 5, then you can, you know, download it onto your cartridge, onto the place where games are supposed to be saved. But most of the time, I think you're not going to be using that feature. Most of the time, you're just going to be using the save state feature that's built in, that most emulators, if not all of them, have. So anyway, let's back out of this. That's the game menu. Now let's go to settings here. This is the image filters that you have available to you, which allow you to kind of like smooth out and enhance the jaggies on graphics of retro games, which I think is a really cool feature. Now, I remember somebody saying, like, online, you know, like, somebody that was doing a review of the Retron said that, like, purists might, you know, like, say, oh, don't use any of those graphics filters. And I thought about that. I was like, purists, really? Because when you're watching this on today's high-def TVs, these jaggies show up like they just didn't on those old, you know, vacuum tube or whatever the crap, you know, TVs. They're just so much more pronounced. So I think actually by using some of these graphics filters, you can get it smoothed out just enough so that it looks like you kind of remember it looking, or maybe like your eyes actually experienced it. And then you can go a step beyond that, and I think even go into the realm where it's like, this is probably what the creators intended, what the artistic design was. So you've just seen the regular now with those. Look particularly at the bad guys, okay? So you've got these bad guys here. They're imps, okay? Now I'll put a graphics, just a little filter on this. Let's see. I think this is the one, I can't remember which. Well, I'll just use the first one that's available here. Okay, so return to game. Look at that. I mean, they totally get smoothed out. Their daggers get smoothed out. And suddenly, I'm like seeing these guys in a new way. Their daggers look like daggers. And their faces, they look, you know, you can see the definition of their hollow eyes and their mouths and stuff. You just see the shape of it more. It looks a little bit more hand-drawn, you know? And so I can't help but wonder, is this what the game makers actually intended, you know, for this to look like? And I wouldn't be surprised if they would say, yeah, actually, that's what we would have drawn if we would have had the, you know, the graphical fidelity to do that. So let's look at another filter here. I don't really understand why these things are named the way they are. Okay, that one is, there's a little bit more jaggies present there, so that's maybe a little bit closer to the original. Still some jaggies there. Sometimes if you look at text, it's a matter of choosing, you know, which one for each game looks good instead of blurry. Sometimes, this is a nice halfway point. There's, you know, you can still see some jaggies on their daggers and on the text. So this might fall into the category of kind of how you remember it looking, you know. But anyway, I guess wrapping up my thoughts on... well, that's a lot of bad guys. And I don't have a wizard to cast sleep on them, so I'm in serious trouble here. But going back to this menu, of course, you can save your states. You know, you have up to 10 slots, save slots for each game, and you can save at any time, which is awesome for these old JRPGs where you only have these little save points. And I understand strategically why they would want to limit you at that in that way, but in terms of my schedule, I'm like, I don't have time to be hunting down the next save point. I know that I should only be able to rest and use my tent at a save point. I get that, you know, for the balance of the game. But let me just save my game and end it whenever I want because my wife wants me to do something or whatever. You know, I've got this thing to go to. You know, who knows? You do have this option of turning scan lines on and off. I guess that's for purists, you know. So this is the scan lines on now, which you probably won't even be able to tell with the fidelity of the image that you're getting through the stream. But that's to kind of simulate what the old TVs look like. You can take a screenshot. You can adjust your volume. I'm going to return to the main menu, though, and get back to settings here. We were leaving off with this. So we talked about image filter, scan lines, aspect ratio. I mean, you can mess with that if you want to, like, stretch or zoom, you know, the game's image. I've never really felt I need to do that. Display overscan. I can't remember what that does. Force original resolution. Screen refresh rate. These are all kind of technical things I haven't really gotten into. Screen size. I did play around with the audio a little bit, and it has this nice sound enhancement feature that just kind of, I think, maybe separates the signal a little bit so that if you're playing it through a home theater, you know, you can hear those nice trebles and you can hear those woofy basses even in these old chiptune type things. It's really nice, you know. And so when I'm playing this without headphones on, or even with the headphones on, you know, I could really get some nice doom doom, you know, very basic kind of bassline stuff coming through my subwoofer, which is really nice. You can do a bass and treble boost. I really didn't find that to be useful, you know. It felt like, you know, it felt like it was adding something to the original game that wasn't intended, whereas the sound enhancement feature is nice and subtle, and I feel like it's giving me the best possible experience that the original creators of the game intended. So then that's just the volume. And then you can do all kinds of button mapping. You know, this plays... it plays NES, Super NES, Sega Genesis, Sega Master System if you have like this kind of adapter thing. It plays Game Boy games, Game Boy Color games, Game Boy Advance games. So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. You can look it up for yourself to see all that it's compatible with. But for all those systems that have different controllers, it has physical ports, so you can use those physical controllers. Now, you can use the controller that came with it, which is this clunky thing that they designed, and it's maybe, you know, it's not that big of a deal to hold it the way that it is, but it, the buttons, I can't describe it. It just it's weird and clicky. Oh, I just did something. But it all the buttons have these weird kind of like clicking noises, and it just. It feels a little lightweight and breakable, and there's something about the clicking when I push those buttons that I don't like. And a lot of people that review this will say that they don't like the controller. I didn't think it would be a big deal. I was like, I won't care. But then when I got it and I started using it, I was like, you know, I really don't like this. Also, the button setup, you know, they've got the start and select button way up here. So, I mean, if you're down here and you want to, like, start your game, you know, some games have, like, you know, they use these for more than just pausing and starting and you know, they'll use it for bringing up a menu or using a special ability or something. And when it's way the crap up there and you're used to being down here and all of a sudden you got to jump your thumb up there, that's a bit of a leap, you know. So what you may find is that just using a Super NES controller for all the games that you play is going to be your preferred method of playing. And luckily, you can go in and you can use, with the settings here for these controllers, you can use a Super NES. You can use whatever controller you want for whatever type of game you're playing. So I can use this to play Sega Genesis games or Nintendo games or Game Boy Advance games or whatever, and you can map all the buttons, you know, as long as it has enough buttons to do what the original controller for that console did, then you're good to go. And so I just use a Super NES controller for whatever I'm playing on the Retron 5 right now. Let's see, what else? Then they got some kind of like these, you know, just kind of user preferences type settings. So I think that's about it as far as like what I wanted to talk about for the Retron 5. It's really nice. It's nice to be able to play these games and for them to look as clean as they do and to have the ability. I really like that feature of enhancing the graphics. So all in all, I mean, I'd say that, let's see, what was I going to put in next? All in all, I'm really happy with my purchase. And I'm not optimistic. I would say that, you know, that they're going to fix the stuff, the issues that I have with, say, like the Game Genie stuff. But I'm at least hopeful, you know, maybe. Like, after all, when I first got it, there were no cheats for Game Boy Advance games. And they released an update, a few months ago that I just updated it with. And now there's great cheats for all of my Game Boy Advance games. So I'm hopeful, but not necessarily optimistic. So was it worth a purchase? Absolutely for me. That's all I have to say about that. Okay, so next game up, Maniac. Mansion. Talk about cinematic game experiences. I got this game... No, I got Day of the Tentacle for PC years after playing this game. And this and Maniac Mansion is included... Day of the Tentacle is the sequel to Maniac Mansion. And Maniac Mansion is included in Day of the Tentacle. So I got to play the original PC game and try it out. And when I fired it up, I was like, what the crap? This looks terrible. What is this? Well, I learned years later. I just thought there was something wrong with my monitor display or something. I didn't know what was going on. Well, years later, I learned that when they ported this to NES, they improved the graphics. When are you ever going to hear that story about a game ported from PC to console? Never. Outside of Maniac Mansion, that I know of. Now, I'm going to play the game that I traded my Scorponok Decepticon for. Now, this is, of course, licensed from the... it's a movie tie-in with the Michael Keaton, Tim Burton-directed Batman movie from 1989. But what's interesting is it really doesn't follow the plot of that movie hardly at all. I mean, this was something that was obviously developed separately from that movie, and maybe was given a script or something like that and had kind of like a rough outline of what this movie was going to be, but clearly, clearly was not like based on it in terms of the level design, you know, even remotely. I think like the second level... is your Axis Chemical Factory. But, I mean, beyond that... But despite it not following the plot of the movie, this is a solid game. And a lot of people would tell you that. Now, it does rip off of Ninja Gaiden in its use of, like, alternate weapons that you can cycle through. Oops. And they very smartly, I think, traded the functionality of the select and the start button. So I keep forgetting that you hit select to pause the game, and the start button cycles through your weapons. And I think that's really good design because it's just a little bit closer to the other buttons that you're using to fight, you know? And so I think they were kind of ahead of their time in recognizing that, like, you know, we might not want a start button. We might want an options button, like we have now on PS4, and I think Xbox One is something else also. So it's. I think at the time it was acknowledged that it was ripping off of Ninja Gaiden. I think I remember, you know, reading some reviews or something like that. But I don't mind if a licensed game rips off of a game if it's a good game and they use good things. You know, it doesn't have to be this original. I think that's kind of unrealistic. It's like when the Green Lantern Rise of the Manhunters game came out as a tie-in to the Green Lantern movie, it was clearly ripping off of God of War in so many ways. But you know what? I like God of War, and I like the way that they used the mechanics of God of War to make a Green Lantern game. So now this is the Axis Chemical Factory, right? I mean, can't you just... You recognize it, I'm sure, from the movie. But it's still a cool game, you know? It plays well. And a lot of people still, you know, like people that, you know, are still thinking about these kinds of games will think back fondly to the music. I mean, lots of these games had great music back in the day, but this is one I know that's remembered well for its... remembered positively for its music. Ba-bum! Ba-bum! Bow, 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 no, no. Bow, bow, bow! No extra charge for that. So this was yet another game that I bought, you know, Batman, that I didn't have cheat codes for, but I wanted at the time because it was Batman, you know, and I was obsessed after I finally saw the movie. The original Michael Keaton Batman movie was the first PG-13 movie that I ever saw. I remember I was in the Phoenix Boys Choir, and my friends in the Phoenix Boys Choir were talking about it and stuff. I wanted to see it so bad. And I just begged my dad if he would take me, because they for sure wouldn't let me watch a PG-13 movie by myself. I was 12 at the time. And so my dad took me to go and see that one. And really left an impression. At that point in the movie, when the Batwing comes like up into the sky, and by the time we saw it, it was in the cheap theaters, you know. The Batwing comes in the sky, and then it goes over the moon, and you see the bat symbol, you know, because of the Batwing up against the moon. Even in the cheap dollar theater, when people saw that, they clapped. And I just had this moment where I was like, I am with my people. You know, it was beautiful. Oh, I can't quite reach. Oops. Keep up. So I was actually drawn to the Game Boy because, if I remember correctly, because I ran out of role-playing games to play on the Super Nintendo. Not long after Final Fantasy III, I think I played Chrono Trigger and loved it. But, I mean, there was times where I was like, oh, I don't have another game to play. And I was only playing RPGs at that time. And still mostly do just play RPGs. I discovered that if I wanted to play more Final Fantasy games, I was going to have to go to the Game Boy. So I eventually bought a used Game Boy, tracked down... Final Fantasy Legend 2 was the first game that I played in that series, and then 3, and then eventually I went back and played 1, which is what I'm going to play now, and I don't think it's as good as the second one or the third one. Man, this was great to have on family vacation, stuck in the back of the car playing my Game Boy, cross-country during the summer, Final Fantasy Legend 2 and 3... Oh my gosh, great, great memories. Wow. The funny thing is, these actually aren't Final Fantasy games. They're like Saga something games in Japan. And once again, just to market themselves better to the stupid Americans, they renamed it Final Fantasy Legend. I really love these turn-based JRPGs. And I loved them the best when they were limited, when the technology was limited. Because when you're looking at these little sprites, and they're saying outrageous things, or sometimes they'll do some little sprite cutesy thing, you know, you can choose to interpret a lot of that how you want. It doesn't have to, in your mind's eye, be over the top and all Japanese anime. You know, you can just assume it's kind of like emoticons, you know, when you're typing something into a chat or whatever, and you use these emoticons that are like these extreme kinds of expressions, and you're just trying to communicate a more subtle, you know, emotion, you know, but you use these emoticons, which are these really strong, you know, depictions of emotions. As graphics got better, they didn't tone down the representations of these emotions and these characters. And so the characters seemed to become more and more over the top. And that's when I started having trouble with the Final Fantasy games. You know, I think probably the first game that I played was maybe, you know, it might not have been a Final Fantasy game. It might have been like a Shadow Hearts game or something like that, where it's like, whoa, settle down, person. And certainly when voice acting got into the mix, that's when it all just went south, because you can also do the same kind of interpretive thing in your mind when you're reading text, instead of listening to some rushed voice actor who has one session to blurt out all of these lines and doesn't have time to perfect them or do nuance, and he's got directors telling him to do crazy things, I'm sure. You know, I don't know whose fault it is, honestly, why we get some really bad translations from the, like, the particularly the PS2 era of voice acting. But it works. I can make even really awkward lines work in my head. Maybe partially because I'm an actor and I'm a creative type. I can find a way to make that dialogue work better in my head than this actor is going to, with the limited time he has to make choices that make sense in a very crunched recording session. A few years ago, I got a DVD. This is when I was kind of thinking about, you know, what might I potentially want to do alongside of Spirit Play Productions? And doing some voice acting was something that I considered, you know. And so I got a DVD that kind of like talked about, you know, interviewed a bunch of actors in the business who'd been in the business for a while, and talked about their experiences and what just the realities of that life are, you know. And I wasn't seriously at all considering that. It was just kind of like, oh, I wonder, you know, maybe I'll learn a little bit more about it. But after watching that DVD, it's fascinating, entertaining. I should pull it out and watch it again. But it basically was like, no, that's not the life for you. You don't want that life, you know. These voice actors are paid nothing. And as someone who doesn't pay his voice actors, I can confirm that. But I mean, even like games being produced by big studios and stuff, unless you have been in the business for a long time and you are a crucial character that's like the main dude, you're getting paid so little. And so many of those voice actors will also take jobs, you know, doing anime translations, you know, localization. They'll do free gigs, you know, as supporting actors or whatever, just to kind of get their foot in the door. And so it is that they are paid so little, and they are, and they have so little time to really do the things that an actor would want to do with their performance. I remember this storyline when it happened in, I want to say, like 1990, 91. And it was, I thought they were killing him for good, you know, because I'd been hearing for a while, you know, Superman's boring. I thought, wow, they finally decided to give up on him, and they're killing him, you know. It didn't really occur to me that it might be just a gimmick. If you watch the, if you watch the DVD, or if you buy the DVD of the animated movie that adapts this story, there's a great special feature. It's about like 40 minutes long about the story behind killing him in the comics. And they had never planned to kill him for good, but they pulled it off so well. I mean, they stopped publishing all three or four, however many of books Superman had at the time. They stopped publishing them for 3 months. And the rationale behind that was, you know, people were getting previews magazine and stuff, so they could see the solicitations ahead of time for the upcoming issues. And so they knew that if people knew that there was going to be an issue right away next month of Superman, that they would know, okay, well, he's not coming, you know, he's not going to die for good. So they made a decision to stop publishing Superman books for 3 months in order to just really sell readers on the point that, yeah, he is dead. But man, I was a little bit sad about it. I remember I wrote a poem in junior high. I was in seventh grade, I think, at the time. And I wrote a poem just about how Superman would be missed. I wish I still had it. I was writing lots of raps in 7th grade. Raps about things. I had a rap for the Batman movie.
Maybe you haven't heard, but we're fighting orcs today.
Let's listen for Cam Clark.
Your words are wasted on this one, Eodane. It's but another fool who thinks to be a hero. When will Lithgorius stop sending them to us?
Yeah, Cam Clark is a voice actor who basically has been in the business for so long. He was one of the 90s Ninja Turtles.
Mark my words.
He was He-Man in the early 2000s animated series.
Your charm, Admiral?
There he is.
It's little wonder we don't get more recruits from Fedark's champions.
Yeah,
you have to excuse my friend, but he does have a point. If you're here to do battle with the orcs or goblins, you'll need to better equip yourself.
That's his kind of lighter, slightly effeminate voice, but he's got like a hero voice that he uses. He uses the same voice for He-Man, for Superman in Justice League Heroes, and pretty much the same voice as the main wizard in Diablo 3.
This knight has traveled a long way to do battle at my father's request.
And it was sometime after watching He-Man the Animated Series and then watching some behind-the-scenes features and learning his name. I kind of wish I never would have learned his name.
I am Elgoy.
Because that, learning his name, combined with, you know, watching behind-the-scenes features and watching the He-Man animated series, suddenly I was like, I know his voice and I can pick it out. Unless he's doing some really nasty, gravelly character voice, but I don't even know that he does those. He might just get hired to do these more kind of like, you know, mainline voices. Anyway, if I can skip this, I'm going to, because I'm obviously not listening to it anyway. Oh my gosh, it's so good I didn't start with these games. I could play them for so long. All right. I'm going to have to force myself to move on to some of these other ones in a little bit.
This is a job for Superman.
Hera.
There's Cam Clark doing his Superman voice. So, thank you very much for watching this stream. Hopefully, there's been something along the way for whatever part you tuned in for that you found useful. Maybe, you know, hopefully a reminder that, hey, you know, some of these retro games, these old games that I have, there's still some life in them, you know? One thing I didn't mention that I mentioned in the post at summeroffree.com, which I would highly recommend you check out. It's a blog site I just set up that archives all of the free entertainment options that we've showcased on the Summer of Free at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast and Christian Geek Central for however many years we've been doing this. It just kind of like is the best of the best. And one of those is an article I wrote on how to get some new life out of your old games. And one of the things I suggested in there is going to a website like, a new one I discovered is called, I think, Retro Achievements, where they kind of list and come up with these achievements for retro games that you can try to pursue and get some fun out of your old games by doing that, you know. So hopefully this stream somewhere along the way either pointed you to a free game that you can go check out and kind of kill some time while you're saving up money to use the resources that God has given you a little bit more responsibly than can be tempting to as a geek. Or maybe you got a new perspective on some of your old games. Or maybe you just didn't get any of that and you just enjoyed kind of laughing at me, blah, 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 blah. Either way, I hope you had a great time. And start looking forward to the Extra Life video game stream, which I'm going to be doing again, 24 hours long. 24 hours long. That's going to be, I think, November... It's early November. It's like, I want to say November 7th, November 10th, something like that. I'll start promoting that on Christian Geek Central in the next month or so, I think, as I start looking to recruit people. Maybe you. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope you... have a great weekend, the rest of your weekend, and consider joining us sometime if you haven't already at Christian Geek Central as we continue to geek out and seek the truth. I want to remind you guys to check out the other members of the Christian Geek Central Network, such as the Strangers and Aliens podcast, the Theology Gaming podcast, the Untold podcast, and POS TOS. For more information about the CGC Network, visit ChristianGeekCentral.com. If you want to help make sure Spirit Blade Productions can keep doing what we're doing or do more of it, both faster and better, you're invited to make a donation of any amount, anytime, or become a part of the Spirit Blade Insider Program and get monthly exclusive goodies. For more information, scroll down to scroll down. I'm a little bumpy now because this is a new directions I'm about to give you that I've not given you before, and I didn't even write them in my script. I just got to the script, saw the old copy, was like, crap, I have to, on the fly, tell them the new directions. And I've totally failed! Anyway, for more information about what it is to be like a Spirit Blade Insider and get some cool goodies, like the video, I didn't mention that yet, but there's a video that they got about 6 months ago that you guys are getting just now, and another video that they just got that I don't know when, if ever, you guys will get that. So, and there's monthly audio journal entries and stuff of all my trials and tribulations and celebrations and excitement as I make my way through this animal that is Spirit Blade Productions and running it all myself, basically. Anyway, for more information about how you can just kind of be an insider to all that, go to spiritblade.com and click on our About page. You'll find information at the bottom there about how you can get involved. You're also invited to support us by purchasing a download of one of our original sci-fi or fantasy audio dramas. And of course, for information, visit spiritblade.com. Feedback! Give me your thoughts on this podcast, Christian Geek Central, the YouTube channel, anything else we're doing. What should we keep? What should we change? Or what's on your mind that you'd like a potentially uninformed opinion on? We want to make this show and all of Christian Geek Central as fun and as useful as we can, but we have to hear from you to do that. You can send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net. That's the same email address you can use if you want to send me a segment to a feature on this show. I'd love to get your voice and your interests on this show on Christian Geek Central, whether you've got an idea already or you just want to be part of the fun. We want to plug you in if you want to be plugged in. So email me paeter@spiritblade.net. I want to let you guys know that the blog, the Spirit Blade Underground web blog, the podcast, and the newsletter have all migrated now to spiritblade.com. If you find yourself at the old blogger-based versions of those places, of like the Spirit Blade Underground, which was I used a blogger to host that for many, many years, and same with the podcast feed and the newsletter. I tried, if you're subscribed to any of the feeds for those things, the transition should be seamless. You shouldn't have any interruption in getting that content through the feed. So that should all be fine. But if for some reason you, like, say, bookmarked the Spirit Blade Underground blog and used the Blogspot URL instead of, like, the spiritblade.net/podcast or spiritblade.net/underground or spiritblade.net/blog, you know, if you use any of those, you'll get a little error message, but it will at least take you to spiritblade.com, the new site where you can get all that content. The blog now is basically the same thing as the newsletter now, because all the reviews and stuff that I was doing on the blog for the Spirit Blade Underground, I've just migrated them over to Christian Geek Central. I've been doing that a while now, so all my entertainment reviews and commentary, that's all going to be exclusively at Christian Geek Central now. The In Search of Truth Bible Study, the text version, which, you know, you get my audio version on the podcast, but the text version of that is now moving over to Christian Geek Central. I was going to wait until the end of the book of Hebrews to kind of make it a cleaner transition, but I just wanted to close off those old sites and migrate all that content over and just be done with it. So what I'm actually doing is I'm starting with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which was I did a video a little while back on faith and whether or not faith is illogical, and that was based on the faith as it's presented in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and then moving on from there. So, like, this coming week, there'll be, like, 3 days in a row where, like, In Search of Truth posts go up at Christian Geek Central. That's not going to be the normal pattern. It's just to get me caught up to where we're at with the podcast schedule, and then what you'll see is the text version once a week, or, you know, whenever we have an In Search of Truth segment, it'll go up on Christian Geek Central. So if you prefer to get that content in the text format, ChristianGeekCentral.com is now where you're going to find that. And then, you know, since I haven't been really giving Spirit Blade Productions, you know, progress reports and updates and stuff near as frequently as I used to in years past, I'm just kind of like now saying the newsletter is the place where you're going to get updates and probably what I'm going to do. I've been pretty good. I missed last month, but I've been pretty good at doing once a month. I put out a short, like 2 or 3 minute video giving a quick update on where we're at. Of course, if you're a Spirit Blade insider, you're getting all the drama and the excitement and all the kind of stuff that I am thinking about and processing throughout the month through my audio journal entries. But anyway, if you want to keep up to date with what's going on with me, with Spirit Blade Productions specifically, and the various endeavors that make up Spirit Blade Productions, all of that's going to be found on the news page at spiritblade.com. Spiritblade.com news page. Okay. If you want to like go back and like experience kind of like the history of Spirit Blade Productions, all of the project updates from the blogger version of the blog have all been transferred over. It was kind of a pain. There wasn't an easy export-import feature with the site that I'm using now. But I was able to copy and paste all specifically of the production updates, which that's really all that news is going to be now. It's not going to be anything else, just production updates at the news page on ChristianGeekCentral.com. So if you're curious of kind of like the history and, Spirit Blade Productions, we've been around for almost 10 years. 2016 is going to be our 10-year anniversary. Anyway, you can explore and browse the entire history of my blog posts related to production work at spiritblade.com if you want to, if you're really that crazy enough. And then I also want to mention that the first behind-the-scenes production video for Spirit Blade, A World of Shadows, is available to view right now at spiritblade.com on our merch and media page. And this one was a lot of fun. It's basically, there's no spoilers in this one, and if there are any ever any spoilers, I'll give you definitely warnings at the beginning of the video. But all the pre-release stuff that I'm going to be putting out will be no spoilers. Anyway, this is a video of me and Mike Tully in between recording sessions when he came to record in the summer of 2012. I can't believe it's been, 3 years now already? I'm still working on this crazy thing. Anyway, but we would, just in between, recording sessions of this marathon recording weekend, just kind of, want to shake out the sillies and just kind of break up the monotony a little bit, not the monotony. It wasn't monotonous at all, but it was intense. And we were just screwing around. And so it's just kind of a collection of us screwing around in between recording sessions when he was out to record for A World of Shadows. So anyway, you can check out that video. It's about, 9-10 minutes long on our merch and media page at spiritblade.com. See, I'm so out of practice promoting anything related to Spirit Blade Productions. I'm so about Christian Geek Central here on this channel. I'm not used to saying that URL. Spiritblade.com if you want that. And I've got video footage and stuff that I don't know if it's going to be on a monthly basis, that new stuff will be there, but it's definitely going to be rotating. I'll rotate in and out maybe some older stuff that's behind the scenes special features, but as much as possible I'm going to start now rolling out as we get closer to the release of Spirit Blade World of Shadows. I'm hoping more often than not to each month have some new behind the scenes stuff there related to Spirit Blade World of Shadows as we kind of anticipate that release, which right now is looking like an early 2016 release. So that sucks that it's taking a lot longer than I thought it would, but it will be kind of appropriate since 2016 will be our 10-year anniversary for Spirit Blade Productions. Wow. Anyway, if you missed the stream, guys, the video game live stream that was 6 hours long, and you just want to put something on while you're doing dishes, or just kind of want some content to fill up whatever, if you just want to have me in your living room for a while or your office for a while, then for a limited time you can watch that entire stream at twitch.tv/ChristianGeekCentral unless something has happened to it. If you missed the stream and want to check it out, twitch.tv/ChristianGeekCentral. They don't leave those up there for long, and I don't plan on posting that entire thing. Maybe sometime down the road I'll make a highlights video or something like that, but if you want to watch the whole thing, go over quickly to twitch.tv/ChristianGeekCentral. Hopefully it'll still be there for you. Okay guys, that's it. Stay tuned for Farscape Shawarma after the credits, or jump back to episode 310 to start from the beginning. Next week, if God wants it to happen, my Fantastic Four video review will be up at youtube.com/ChristianGeekCentral but there will be no podcast, I'm sorry to say. My wife and I and our boys are going to be out of town on a retreat where we volunteer as mentors in the college young adult group at our church, and it's their annual retreat, and so we're going to be off doing that, and there just wasn't a way really for me to... There was a way, but it would have just further delayed the release of Spirit Blade: World of Shadows, so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to take this week off. I'm going to take this week off and apologize for it. So I'm sorry, guys, that the podcast won't be there next week, but I hope you can understand. The following week, I will feature my Fantastic Four review on this podcast, but if you want, hopefully... that video review will be up at youtube.com. I'm either going to record it and leave late for the retreat if I'm able, because we're leaving on Friday, or it's looking more and more likely I will be bringing my phone along and my little teeny tripod for my phone, which actually records pretty good video, and I will just be recording my uncut review of Fantastic Four in a car in a parking lot somewhere as I sneak away from the retreat to go see that movie and do the review for you guys. So it'll be interesting. Keep an eye on youtube.com/ChristianGeekCentral to see which one of those happens next Friday. And then let's see here. The following week, as I said, the Fantastic Four audio review will be on this podcast, hopefully, and a new installment of Trek Talk, and possibly some reactions to news from Gamescom. We'll see if anything noteworthy really comes out of it. I'll try to keep my eye on it. And if you don't know, that's Gamescom is the kind of like the it's the European video game conference, kind of like the European version of E3. Anyway. Till then, guys, check out spiritblade.com and just kind of get acquainted with the content over there that's all kind of finished migrating now, and make yourselves at home, and let me know if you have any questions or anything like that about content that you're looking for. And then, of course, Christian Geek Central for stuff that you can find that's made just for you. I hope you enjoy what's going on there. Thanks so much, guys. I really do not take it for granted. Thank you so much for making time for this show. I hope that you have a great week and that you'll join me next time here on the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast as we continue to geek out and seek the truth.
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Peter Frampton with support from the Christian Geek Central community at ChristianGeekCentral.com. For information about the latest entertainment and resources from Spirit Blade Productions, visit SpiritBlade.com. Thank you for listening.
Prepare for immediate starburst.
Okay, so that was episode 319 of season 3 of Farscape. I yench, you yench. And this kind of further sets up the two-parter that's coming up. That's going to be about this mission they're taking on. But in this episode, Rigel and Dargo meet with Scorpius and Bracca in a diner on a planet to have a neutral place to talk about this idea that Crichton is going to help Scorpius develop wormhole technology because he'd rather he had it than the Scarrans. And part of building that bond of trust is these Iyench bracelets where, you know, two people wear them and they both feel each other's pain and experience each other's injuries. If one person dies, the other one dies too. And in the middle of these kind of peace talks, if you will, these kind of hick aliens come in and they're working with the cook at the diner to burn down the place for insurance. And I just don't care about that story. I don't care about all these weird, you know, one-shot aliens and their mullets. They all kind of have these weird mullet looks to them. I just don't like them. And it felt like filler, you know, when there were so many other cool things going on in this episode that were not only more interesting, but, you know, also advancing the overarching story. And meanwhile, back on Moya, Talon kind of goes nuts and blows up a peaceful vessel, and Krace realizes, okay, he needs to be basically decommissioned and brain wiped and started over fresh, you know, And Talon just continues to kind of freak out and be paranoid, and he even ends up attacking Moya, which I'd totally forgotten. And when that happened, it shocked me, because I'd totally forgotten about it. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, he's attacking his own mother. And so there's, you know, just kind of heavy drama going on there. And and of course, you've got the continual kind of either healing or just kind of like stabilizing of the relationship between John and Aaron, as she's beginning to tolerate at least being around him, you know, during this episode. So some neat things that were happening, some neat kind of character moments between Rigel and Scorpius, you know, and, but I mean this, you know, it's, the Hicks. I don't like the Hicks. but I mean, there's not a lot else for me to really say about this episode. It felt like, you know, kind of setting up, really putting things in place for a bigger story. And then the next two episodes, I'll probably sit down and just watch back to back, because they're kind of like these, you know, every, you know, at least once or twice every season, Farscape kind of gets these little movies, you know, and they especially feel like movies as opposed to like Star Trek, you know, that would do a two-parter, you know, and that would be kind of like an event. But Farscape is just shot in a much more cinematic way. And they'll put some extra money often into these multi-part episodes, and you'll see the money, I think, being used in the two episodes coming up. But for now, that's I really don't have a ton to say. That's all I got to say about Ayench Yuyench.